Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. I think that we were asked by in this panel to rethink about the minority rights defenders and their role. So I will try to share some thoughts concerning rethinking. What are these roles? And my first question was really about minority rights defenders or even human rights defenders, and whether really we believe that the advocacy for minority rights is left only to them, or whether we all have a role in defending minorities. And if we think that this is the case, which I believe, I think we should believe that one of our goals should be how to create a space where everyone, fellow citizens, neighbors, co-workers, stand up for the rights of others, particularly for those who are oppressed and persecuted because they belong to a minority. But in fact, I think this already happens. And I think perhaps I can give you two examples that we may consider as good practices. And for this, I will take the case of the situation of the Baha'is in Iran. Firstly, you know that Baha'i youth are not allowed to study in university in Iran. And if they are in university, if they've been able to enter because it was not obvious that they were Baha'is, as soon as it's realized that they are Baha'is, they're expelled. And there was one case where a Baha'i student was not allowed to take part in the exams because in the meantime, it was found out that he was a Baha'i. And what happened in a wonderful movement of solidarity is that all his fellow students decided not to take the exam, saying that if he cannot take the exam simply because he's a Baha'i, then we will all not take the exam. The other example that I can give you is that in a small village called Ivel in northern Iran, homes of Baha'is were bulldozed and destroyed, and their land were confiscated under the excuse that they were illegally built. But in fact, what happened is that the neighbors of these Baha'is, who also have lands next to them, wrote a letter to the municipality. And they said that we have lands next to the lands of the Baha'is, they're not illegal, and nobody has bulldozed or confiscated our land. So in fact, this confiscation has been, this bulldozing is illegal, and they have signed this letter and sent it. So these are some of small examples that show that in fact, it's not only for human rights defenders or for minority rights defenders to defend the rights of the Baha'is, but it's the capacity that every single individual has to stand up for the rights of others, particularly if they belong to a majority and they see that their fellow minority friends or co-workers or whatever, neighbors, are persecuted. With regard to minority rights now, we can see that one of the challenges is how we can respect and encourage this diversity without creating an us and them. We have learned that othering is one of the most insidious but also quite successful method to create disunity and division. And we have seen how this othering, this disunity and division, creates a space for the discrimination and the persecution of minorities. The minority becomes the enemy. Many years ago, Professor Asboin Aide framed the term of ethnic conflict entrepreneurs. I will now change a little bit his term and call it minority conflict entrepreneurs. Those who will use the issues that are sensitive in each society, for example, being spies of a foreign country, or being blasphemous, or being promiscuous. And by using this slander, they raise incitement to hatred against the minorities by spreading these lies against them. So how can minorities counter this? Well, one of the ways that they can is through constructive resilience, which means that rather than succumbing to the oppression or taking on the characteristics of the oppressor, they can become active members of their communities. And by working shoulder to shoulder with others for the betterment of the society around them, they can actually dispel the misunderstandings and false stereotypes that are created. Again, the Baha'is in Iran have shown this in practice. For over 40 years, they have been relentlessly persecuted at the hands of the authorities, but they have remained true to their rejection of violence. At the same time, they have continued to strive to be engaged actors, contributing to the society they live in, despite all the opposition of the government. For example, the authorities have recently put Baha'is in prison simply because they were helping Afghani children with schoolwork. But what we see today, through this constructive resilience, is that more and more Iranians from all walks of life are no longer believing in the slanders and lies that have been and still are spread against the Baha'is. And they're supporting the rights of Baha'is to live peacefully in Iran, a country that they love and a country that is also the cradle of their faith. And this brings us to see how we view diversity. Contrary to prison forces of exclusivity and superiority that are raising their ugly heads, the governments and communities must understand that the contribution of all should be valued, and that a diverse society will always be far richer than a uniform one. So within the UN framework, good practices should not only be about the particular rights that are granted to minorities, which of course is essential, but also to how states are actually ensuring that this greater and greater diversity is the composition of their society and that they're allowed to live together rather than side by side. So sending communications and urgent actions should not be enough, and interactions with governments should take other forms. For example, by what means could the attention of the state of Qatar be drawn to the fact that its policy of slowly eliminating the Baha'i community through blacklisting and deportation is actually to the detriment of its own society and will ultimately lead to its impoverishment? In conclusion, yesterday the special rapporteur mentioned that there is not enough visibility for the issue of the rights of minorities. He's right, and yet we have come a long way. As the representative of an NGO whose members are a religious minority in every country of the world, I have witnessed firsthand and how through the relentless work